Thank you, Chuck and Debbie. Praise the Lord. That was a good song. Take your Bibles, please. Open back up to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And here in Deuteronomy 16, we see some feasts. How many of you like a feast? Amen. Oh, yeah. Good Baptists, we love feasts. Well, in the Old Testament, there's three great feasts that the Bible talks about: the Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And the text here is the passage we just read, the 7 weeks. It's talking about the 7 weeks and the Feast of 7 weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. And so we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you that we can open it up, look at it, and preach from it. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts with it today and use it in our lives to guide and direct us in the way we should go. Thank you for all the good music, and Lord, it's already been a blessing to my heart. And I pray now that you'll just cause us to look at our lives and speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So these three great feasts, the one we read about is the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. And they're all a celebration. They're a lot of fun. They're exciting. And but that isn't why they had these feasts, just to be a lot of fun. That's why we have a lot of our feasts. Amen. We'll go to buffets. And anyway, we better not get into that, or you'll get your mind off on that. But each of these feasts, God had a purpose for them, and there was an emphasis that seems to carry itself over into every feast, and that is three things. One is to remember. These feasts were to cause them to remember some things. Two is to respond. Typically at these feasts, they would give. And they would respond to the things they remember in somewhat of a thankful type of a way. But also they would respond by rejoicing. And so those three things in these feasts, God designed them so the people would remember, they would respond, and they would rejoice. In verse 10, it's interesting how it says right at the last here, the second part, it says, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. According as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. In other words, let's think about how God has blessed you, and now we're going to respond according to that, and we're going to rejoice according to that. And what a wonderful feast that is. In other words, the Bible goes on in verse 11, says, thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. Amen. I mean, they're supposed to rejoice. They're supposed to praise the Lord. You say, what's that mean? Well, it doesn't mean this. I guarantee it doesn't mean that. By the way, if you're eating a big old a piece of grilled chicken, glory to God, or you're cutting into a T-bone steak, or you're eating, well, we got to get away from that. Typically, you're pretty happy about all that, right? And this feast, they're thinking about what God's done. They're thinking about what they can do. They're responding to that. And then they're to rejoice, the Bible says. But notice who's rejoicing. It says, thy son, thy daughter, manservant, maidservant, Levite that's within the gate, stranger, fatherless, widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Everybody's rejoicing. I mean, they're praising the Lord. By the way, that's what it means to rejoice. Amen. I mean, they're just praising God. They're rejoicing. They're talking about what God's done. They're talking about his blessings. They're talking about the harvest and the upcoming harvest and all the things that go into these feasts. They're looking around and thanking God for the food that they have. They're thanking God for all his blessings to them. They're remembering what he's done in the past. They're remembering what he has just recently done. And what a blessing to be able to have these feasts. But I want to remind you that God had to tell them to do this. I want to remind you, God said, here's what you're going to do. These feasts you're going to have. And the whole key, I really believe, is this, that they end up rejoicing. Rejoicing over the things that God has done. Their natural response, if they'll just remember what God's done, is to rejoice. By the way, our natural response, if we would just tune out all the other stuff, our natural response, if we really would just remember what God's done, our natural response is going to be to rejoice. Last week, Brother Nixon preached, I think, a classic message on Sunday morning. And I don't know what he titled it, but I titled it, I'm Miserable. And it was, and maybe that is his title, I'm not sure. But it was a classic message where he said, I'm miserable, and then he described somebody who's miserable. And as he was preaching, I was sitting there thinking, I'm so glad I'm not miserable. I just want to praise God. And I got all excited and got excited during the week and started writing things down. And I thought, you know, I thought I'll just preach this on Sunday morning, some of those things I wrote down. But I kept writing down. I'm not sure when this is going to be finished. But I want you to know today I'm not miserable. And I want you to know you don't have to be miserable today. It was such a good message. And the whole idea, you know, he started off, I'm miserable. And I'm miserable because really what it boiled down to is what's in it for me. And by the way, if that's all you think about today, you will be miserable. I guarantee there's no doubt about it. So many folks are absolutely miserable. It's sad. It really is. I'm talking about Christian people. I mean, I understand the drunk being miserable. I understand the drug addict being miserable. I understand the prostitute being miserable. I understand those living in immorality being miserable. I understand the homosexual crowd being miserable. I understand those that are in jail today being miserable. I understand a lot of misery and understand why there's so much misery, but I cannot understand how God's people could be miserable. And I'll tell you what, boy, he stirred things up. And I mean, honestly, folks came out like worms after rain. Amen? And misery, misery, misery. And because misery loves company. But I'll be honest, I'm not. I'm not going to be miserable. I refuse to be miserable. And I'm going to follow the feast emphasis. Amen? And I want to encourage you to follow that feast emphasis. And that is, first of all, remember. Remember. I mean, it's like the choir saying, when I survey the wondrous cross. That's my favorite song, by the way, and that was such a blessing to me. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Wow, what? Hey, wait a minute. When you survey the wondrous cross, it cannot possibly lead to misery. It has to lead to rejoicing. It really does. It has to lead to rejoicing. I was thinking as Chuck and Debbie were singing, you know, he holds my hand. He holds my hand. You know, if you just remember, just remember, just remember. Oh, preacher, you don't understand the economy. You don't understand, you know, the election's coming up. You don't understand there's so many bad things. Oh, yeah, but he holds my hand. I'm not alone, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And he holds my hand, and he's there. And if I stumble, he's there. And if I have trials, he's there. And when the bad guy comes, he's there, and he's going to take care of me. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing today. I thought about Brother Nixon and thought about it all week long. You know, I'm miserable. I can still hear him say, you know, I'm miserable. And he'd go into this. And what's in it for me? And, hey, listen today, I'm not miserable. I'm rejoicing today. I'm praising God today. And here's why I'm praising God. Because I remember and I respond. And I respond by saying, God, I just want to give you all. And I want to give you all, and I want to rejoice today. What a shame it is that God's people aren't rejoicing. What a shame it is that God's people, it's too bad they had to be told to feast. It's a shame they had to be told how to feast. Amen? It's a shame that God had to tell us, but we're not very smart. All we like sheep have gone astray, right? We're not real smart. So God has to tell us. But since he did tell us, remember, respond, rejoice. Remember, respond, rejoice. I'm rejoicing today, number one, because I have a perfect salvation. I'm rejoicing today. I have a perfect salvation. It doesn't take a whole lot for me to remember when I got saved because I talk about it. Now, I'm forgetting a lot of things. Some days, I don't remember yesterday. Some days, I'm not real sure who I am. But I'll tell you one thing, because I talk about it. I've written it down. I remember the day I got saved. I remember what God did. Hey, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And God saved me. Psalm 13, verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Did you hear that? My heart shall rejoice. You say today, I'm one of those miserable people. Hey, are you saved today? then rejoice in your salvation. I don't care about the economy. It doesn't matter about the election coming up. It doesn't, you know, we need to pray. We need to vote right. But listen to me, we can always rejoice in the salvation that God has given to us. Psalm 20, verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. We're setting up our banners, huh? His banner over me is love, his love, amen? That's what salvation is. It's all about his love for me. You say nobody cares, he does. You say nobody loves me, he does. You say everybody hates me, no, he loves you. He loves you today, and his banner over you is love. We ought to raise our banner high, not with a frowny face, but a big smiley face saying, I'm rejoicing today. I'm not going to be miserable. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord my God, and I'm going to rejoice. If there's nothing else to rejoice in, I can always rejoice in my salvation. If you're saved today, you can too. Oh, I feel so bad for anyone miserable today. I honestly do, because I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Hey, now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Remember the song? You sung it. Once my heart was heavy with a load of sin. Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing. See, you say, preacher, you need to be more dignified. I don't want to be dead. I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing today. You need to rejoice today. We have a perfect salvation. Perfect, perfect salvation. Psalm 40, verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Notice that. Such as love thy salvation. Do you love it? Do you love it? Do you love it? Do you love it? Uh-huh. Do you love it? Do you love your salvation? Do you love it? Oh, you're going to love it. I'll tell you what, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment, you're going to love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. When it's time to die, when the heart stops beating, you'll love it. Amen. Been there. Been with people that died in Jesus. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You'll love it then when it's about that time. When you look up and you say, you know, I see Jesus. There's Jesus. And I'm looking around. Where? You know, I don't see him. But they see him. Why? They see the gate. Amen. Because they're about to enter. Huh? They love it then. Boy, big smile. Sometimes it's a toothless smile. I mean, they're happy. You know why? Because it's salvation. That's why it's a perfect salvation. Perfect. All the imperfection in this world. You got a job, you may lose it. Got a car, it may not work. Got a house, it may blow down. Or it may burn up like factories do. Hey, listen to me. You got all these things, but they're not perfect. But that's salvation. You can count on that. Oh, I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing. And listen to me. Let such as love thy salvation say continually. What does that mean? That means all the time. It means when it's raining, you say it. It means when it's hot, when it's cold, doesn't matter. You say it. You're excited. Not like the Ephesians who left their first love. Remember when you were excited? Remember how excited you were? Remember? Boy, you told everybody, oh, I'm so excited. There was a day you could have sung that. I'm so happy. Now it's like, I'm so happy. How sad. I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing today. Isaiah 61:10. Oh, I love this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. Go back, think about Adam and Eve. He hath. Who killed the animal in the garden? He. He did. He clothed them. He made it possible for them to communicate with him. He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. Oh, glory to God. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Hey, I'm rejoicing today. Can you tell? I'm rejoicing today. John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that his joy might remain in you. That's joy that hung on a cross. Huh? That's because of what was set before him. That's because heaven was set before him. And he loved us so much, we were going to be able to go to heaven because he hung on a cross. That's a joy that only God can have. And he said, my joy might remain in you. And it doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if the economy's bad. It doesn't matter if the devil's after you. And it doesn't matter if you're in a valley today. You can rejoice. It's his joy. It's his joy. And he says that your joy might be full. John 15:11. I'm rejoicing today because of my perfect salvation. Remember? Remember? Remember what he did? See, remember, respond, rejoice. Number two, I'm rejoicing today. Why am I rejoicing? I'm rejoicing because of perfect salvation. But I'm rejoicing because of a permanent salvation too. Permanent salvation. I mean, you know, Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. Isn't that good? I mean, you know, it's one thing to rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you. We'll talk about that, I started to say later, maybe not later today, but because your names are written in heaven. Yeah, and you know what? That's written in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever true, he that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. I was singing that a while ago, and I kind of looked around and on purpose, and I thought, you know, how in the world do you sing that without hoo-hoo? You know, at least a little bit. Okay, just a hoo. You know, I'd take that. Hath everlasting life. It's everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's any of us, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You're here today without Christ. I can help you rejoice too, because Jesus loves you and he died on the cross to pay for your sins, and he wants to give you everlasting life today. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, truly, truly, no doubt about it, everlasting life. It is permanent salvation. I love it. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He said there is no condemnation, none, zero, no condemnation who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God's for you, who could possibly be against you? Well, you know, so-and-so's mad at me. Okay. Yeah. Oh, the devil, he's angry. Oh, is he ever? Yeah, you better believe he's angry. Uh-huh. By the way, praise God. Amen. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall? The accuser? He does. Yeah, the Bible says the devil's the accuser. He accuses you all the time. By the way, he's right. It's maybe the only time he ever tells the truth. Yeah, he goes before God. He accuses all the time. Oh, did you see what Tim Cook did? And God said, yeah, well, you know, I know Tim Cook. He's my child. And what did you see? Sin? God says, no, I didn't see that. Why? Because it's under the blood. There's no condemnation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Huh? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Here's what Paul said. He said, for I am persuaded. You need to be persuaded today. Honestly, you just need to be persuaded. Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You need to be persuaded today, okay? Because honestly, and if you are persuaded, you need to tell your face. Huh? I'm talking about a permanent salvation today. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. I'm not doing all I should. Well, you ought to do all that you should, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with you being a child of God. You either are or you aren't. That's it today. You're either a child of God or you're not. You're either born again or you've never been born again. You're either born once or you're born twice. If you've been born twice, you're born again. Glory to God. I mean, that is what it is. And it is a permanent salvation. I watch people. I'll never forget. I was pastoring. We started our church in Indiana, and a girl came to visit our church from a missionary church. And she came in, and she started talking to me. And she said, what happens when I lose my salvation? I said, well, nothing happens because you can't. She said, what do you mean you can't? She said, I've heard all my life that I've got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And if I don't do that, and I said, maybe that's why you don't smile. I'll be honest with you, folks. I wouldn't smile if you could lose your salvation. You wouldn't either if you really thought about it. Because there isn't any of us that could keep it. You couldn't earn it, huh? If our works are as filthy rags, if our good works are as filthy rags, according to Isaiah 64, then certainly there's no way we could earn our salvation, and there's no way we could keep our salvation. You know what? We would be of all men most miserable. So why are you miserable today? I'm rejoicing today because I've got a permanent salvation. It has nothing to do with me. Nothing. Nothing. I'm His child. And you know what? You say, oh, so you think you can sin and get away with it. But did you hear what I just said? I'm His child. He doesn't believe in timeouts. Some of you got real quiet on that. Yeah, he still uses the rod. Amen. He knows what he's doing. He's got it all figured out. Huh? He doesn't count to three. He deals with me as a child. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Why are you rejoicing today, preacher? Well, because I'm remembering. I remember what I have. I remember my perfect salvation. I remember my permanent salvation. And my response is, whoopee, I'm so excited. Huh? Amen. Number three, I'm rejoicing today because of His pardon. Jeremiah 33:8 says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. Now, it's not written all those times, but I'm just trying to get somebody to go, or something. All their iniquity. You know, you got used to it, though. We become professional Christians. We kind of get used to it. We get used to all, oh, yeah, I used to be a drunk. Sure, I used to do drugs. Oh, yeah, I used to do all that wicked stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, He said, I have cleansed them from all their iniquity. By the way, that's not just yesterday, and that's not just today. That's also tomorrow. I've cleansed them. His pardon, it's perfect. It's for all eternity. He says, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they've sinned against me. You ever sin against God? I've had a boo-boo or two. That's your problem. You used to know it was black. You used to know it was nasty. You used to know that it would send you to hell. You used to believe that it was dirty, it was wicked, it was vile. It hung Jesus on a cross. You used to weep over that thing. And now it's just, well, I did do some boo-boos. And that's why your pardon doesn't mean as much anymore. But I'll tell you what, if you really remember, then these words, I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. You get pretty excited. That's why I'm rejoicing today. He's pardoned me. What's that mean? Not guilty. Well, did you do it? I did. I did it all. And you know what? I still do. Yeah, not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Well, you know the punishment? Hell for all eternity. Oh, I know that. I know that. But guess what? I'm not going there. We first got saved. We were rough. I mean, we were real rough, and most of you know that and understand that. And I remember we got in a letter to the editor thing about when HBO first came out. You know, you have it. Anyway, and I wrote a letter to the editor, and I called it HBO stood for Hell's Bad Odor. And it wasn't a real popular letter at all. I was a new Christian. I mean, I was still just kind of learning, you know. And but I was pretty fired up about that. And so I wrote my letter to the editor. And I was still, like I say, I was rough. My wife wrote a letter to the editor. Hers was more dignified. Mine was just pretty much, anyway. But somebody wrote back. You know how you get in fights, letters to the editor. Somebody wrote back, and they pretty much told me where to go. So I wrote back. And I, again, I didn't know my Bible very well, but I said, you will never see me in hell. Because I can't go there. Because I'm a child of God. I don't know if I worded it real theologically. But you know what? That truth is just such a good truth. You know, I've told people to go there before I got saved, and I've been told to go there many, many times. But the truth of the matter is, I can't. The Holy Spirit says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He says, lo, I am with you always. Amen. And so if I did go to hell, it would cease to be hell. Because the Holy Spirit would be there. Because he's with me always. And he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm pardoned. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Don't you like that? Blotteth. I love that. Blotteth out. Amen. And will not remember thy sins. Boy, that's so good. I know it is. Isaiah 43, verse 25. You ought to write these down. I'm going 100 mile an hour. Amen. And you know, shouldn't you rejoice today? How could anybody be miserable as a Christian? How could you sit in these pews and be miserable? How could you possibly? I was thinking, you know, all week long I was thinking, because like I said, you know, misery came out like worms after the rain, you know. I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, ooh, you know. But I got to thinking about the perfect salvation, the permanent salvation, and the pardon that God gives. And then I got to thinking about his promises. Wow, I started to really get rejoicing about his promises. Why? That's his word. His word is a promise. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Amen. I rejoice at thy word. It's like we open up the Bible, it's like opening up a treasure chest. Oh, remember when you were young and you'd go look for a treasure chest with a treasure in it? I mean, forget the chest. Amen. We want the treasure. And you go looking for something, and you hope to find something, or maybe you found somebody's wallet, and you're hoping they forgot that they had a wallet, because you know? Your parents always tell you, well, we got to wait on the owner, you know. And you open that up, and there's all that money in there, and you were so excited about that. And the Bible says that when you open up his word, the psalmist said, I rejoice at thy word, and I open it up, and I go, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's his promises to me. I've told you how when Brenda and I were dating, I would wait on her letters and wait on her letters and wait on her. I mean, I was so excited about her letters. And she'd spray them with perfume and Charlie perfume. And, oh, I love that. And I was so excited about getting her letters. And I'd wait. And I'd watch the mailman coming around the corner, you know. And I'd get all excited. And I could smell the Charlie from a block away. And, oh, man, I was excited about getting those letters. And you know what? God says, I want you to feel that way about this letter. I want you to be excited about that. I want you to look in it and get excited and say, wow, do you know what I just read? I love it when somebody gives a testimony. And Phyllis White, many times on Wednesday night, she'll give a testimony and she'll stand up and she'll say, this passage meant so much to me, or this verse meant so much to me. And she'll read that and she'll be all excited and you can see it. And her red hair will glow because she's so excited about the words that God gave, his promise to you and I. It's his promise. He'll never break his promise. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right. What do? Rejoicing the heart. I don't know about all these thou shalt and thou shalt nots. I'm not sure I really like those very much. My Bible says they'll rejoice your heart. They'll get you fired up. They'll get you going in the right direction. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. This is rejoicing ground here. Yeah, what is it? The word of God, his promise to me. promises to me. If you do this, I'll do this. Don't you love that? I make deals all the time. I got some deals coming up. I'm so excited about some of the deals I made. They're not bets, they're deals. And I'm getting all kinds of stakes. I've got stakes coming like crazy because I did real well on my deals. But I make deals with people all the time and everything like that. Why in the world can't we get excited about the deals God offers us? If you do this, I'll do this. Psalm 1, read it sometime. It's a deal. He said, it ends up with you and I prospering if we'll just do what he says. What's that? Get away from scornful people. Get away from sinners. Get away from all that stuff. All that's going to blow away like chaff. Huh? He says, but plant by the river of living water. Oh, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you prosper. Huh? That's a promise. It's a promise. Why don't you like that? Why wouldn't we get excited about that? Amen. I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing like Jeremiah did, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Maybe you're not rejoicing today because you're eating other stuff. You know, I suppose if you eat primetime television, you probably aren't rejoicing today. Yeah, if that pretty much is what you digest all the time. But he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing because of his promises. Number five, I'm rejoicing because of my position. My position. Amen. First of all, I'm a son. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's me. He's my father. Glory to God. I love it. Dr. Tom Williams, you know, I've gone to his prayer teachings and seminars and all that many, many times. And the one thing that has stood out over and over and over again is he says, always say, my father, my father, my father, our father, our father. Call him father. Father! Sometimes I call him dad. Sometimes I say daddy. Abba, father, that's daddy. Amen, because he's my father. You say, well, you need to be a little more dignified. Sometimes I don't feel real dignified. I feel like I just need to sit on his lap and cry a little while. And I can, because I'm his son. You know, my son pretty much can ask for anything. He knows that, and he does. No. But he's my son. You know, I mean, there's just so many things he can do, and he knows that. He gets away with things others maybe don't get away with. Saying things, and many times I'll let him feel like he's right when I am, but that's because he's my son. You know, God's my father. Why don't you understand God is your father? Now are we the sons of God? You know, he's your father. He's your father. Why don't we get excited about and rejoice that our position is as a son? Galatians 3, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Yeah, all of us. If you're saved today, we're his kids. We are his children. He's our father. I'm his son today. I'm rejoicing because of my position as a son. I'm rejoicing because of my position as a servant. The Bible says, Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, amen, and it takes me back to when I first got saved and I didn't know the songs, you know, but I was so excited about serving God. I was so excited that God was going to use me, and even painting that swing set, red, white, and blue in 40-degree weather. I mean, I was just so excited that I could do something for God. I could be a servant of God. It was such a blessing to me. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, maybe you're miserable today because you just haven't decided that you want to serve God. And you're not serving God. Come before his presence with singing. I can't imagine somebody, you know, you have a bus route, you ought to sing. You go soul winning, you ought to sing and praise the Lord and serve the Lord with gladness. I'm excited and rejoicing today because of my position as a son, because of my position as a servant, and of course, as a pastor, I'm rejoicing because of my position as a shepherd. There's joy. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with what? Joy. Amen, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. But there's joy. There's joy in being a shepherd. Yeah, and you say, yeah, you are a shepherd. You're like the, no, listen to me. There's joy in being his shepherd. There's such joy in that. And what a blessing to be able to shepherd God's sheep. I cannot think of anything greater in all the world than being a shepherd. But your position, what is your position today? You know, do you remember? Remember. Hey, I'm rejoicing today. Preacher, how can you rejoice? There's just so many bad things going on. I died to self a long time ago. Those bad things. It's like I preached not too long ago. That body in that casket ain't a whole lot affects it. Just not much bothers it. Honestly, gossip doesn't bother. Backbiting doesn't bother. Huh? I don't know why you'd want to bite the back. But I'm just saying, nothing really bothers it too much. I pointed this out. You know, you walk up, and I stand by caskets a lot as a pastor. I'm by caskets a lot. And people say, I don't know why they combed his hair that way. And I'm thinking, I don't know why you care. But the truth of the matter is, he doesn't. Doesn't matter. They could have made her look more natural. It's not natural. That's not natural. Okay? My wife and her mom, they have actually practiced how they're going to smile. They practice. I'm serious. In a motel one time, they're laying there and they're practicing. What, are we supposed to take a picture and give it to the, anyway, but I'm just saying, you know what? If you die to yourself, that's what Brother Nixon preached on. You know, you're miserable today because it's all about self, and you're going to drive yourself nuts. You really will. You will absolutely die a grump if you don't get this thing settled one of these days. I'm serious about this. You know, as just a young man in my 20s, I started losing my hair. In my 20s. I mean, it started receding. I mean, I'd look at pictures of my dad and I'd think, ugh. And I didn't tell Dad that. You know, but it was like, oh my. And you know, you take a shower and you look down and you think there's a big hairy spider in the trap. That's not what it is. It's hair. It's your hair. And it's there. And it's a big wad right there. But what do you have to, you just have to say, you know what? Who cares? Who cares? And you die to yourself. Praise God. I'm rejoicing today. I'm rejoicing because of my portion. Wow, my portion. Psalm 16, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The Lord, he's the portion of my inheritance. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, my portion. That's exciting to me. That is exciting to me. I've preached a lot of funerals and too many funerals. I say that all the time, and I've preached a lot of them about in my mind, thinking about people's their mansions and thinking about their how they decorated it. Jean Raymond with all her talents of decorating and everything, and thinking about how we were trying to find Mike Kerwicki a place to live, and he was telling me about what he needed and everything, and then God took him to heaven, and you know, and written sermons about all that and everything. But I get sometimes thinking about my own inheritance that God has for me. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for me. Just for me. Amen. And Brother Korea has his for him, and it's just for him. It's just the things that are for him. And Brother Hawkins, he has his that is reserved just for him. And all the way around here. And I'll be honest with you, it'd be tough for me to be like this when I get thinking about that. I get to thinking about that inheritance, that portion that God has for me. I get to thinking about how wonderful that is. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. You ever find out you're an heir? H-E-I-R. And that great aunt, you didn't even hardly know her, but you're an heir. And now you start thinking about her big house. You start thinking about her nice big yard and her nice new car. And you start thinking about, and I'm an heir to that, and I'll tithe, God. Amen. Tim, you should amen right then and there. And do you know how piddly that is compared to his portion? I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I'm an heir. I don't know how big the hills are, but 1,000 hills is a whole bunch of cows. That means stakes all the way through eternity. Glory to God. I'm an heir, joint heir with Christ. My portion. Could you rejoice over that? Oh, if somebody hand you $100 a day, you'd go, you'd be so excited. Huh? But I tell you, you're joint heirs with Christ. And it's like, yeah, but what am I going to do now? What about my bills today? What about my job? He's our Father. He's our God. Oh, listen to me. I'm excited. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing because I have a perfect salvation. I have a permanent salvation. I have a pardon. I have his promises. I have the position that he has for me. I have a portion. I'm rejoicing today because of his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. There it is. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And Chuck and Donna just told us he holds our hand. Chuck and Debbie just told us he holds our hand. Well, Donna would tell us that too. He holds our hand. And where's his hand? Oh, at his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Amen. And you say, you know, I remember going shopping with Grandma. Remember going shopping with Grandma? And she took us to Hartford City. Hartford City, there was one store, but we were going to town. That's what it's called. We're going to town. Friday night, we went to town with Grandma. And Grandma said, hold my hand. And I did. Why? Because I got comic books. Yeah. Now, Douglas Paul, don't you call me that. Hold my hand. And I grabbed on. Why? Because I got a chocolate milkshake. Always got a cheeseburger. I can start talking now because we're about done. Okay? I mean, always got those things. I mean, comic book, chocolate milkshake, cheeseburger, huh? You know, oh yeah, I'd latch right onto that hand. Amen. Some of you need to grab hold of Jesus' hand today. I'm serious, you really do. His presence is so good. It's so good. 1 Chronicles 16:10 says, Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 89:16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. All the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. He's already here. Amen. I'm never alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. That doesn't just mean I'm saved. That means he's there. That doesn't mean, lo, I am with you always. It's not just that. He's there. I hold his hand. He holds my hand. And he says, you need a comic book? Well, sure, I'll take a comic book. How about a chocolate milkshake? Well, I'm not supposed to. Don't tell my wife. And he holds my hand, his presence. I got to stop. Oh, listen, I'm rejoicing today. I wish you'd be rejoicing today, honestly. You know what breaks my heart more than anything in this world is God's people who aren't rejoicing. I'm not talking about fake. I'm not faking it today. I am. Brenda and I were talking yesterday, and I told her, I said, you know, it is just absolutely amazing. Just amazing that I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I want you to rejoice today. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking. No one's talking. How many today would say, preacher, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm certainly not rejoicing because I'm not saved. I don't have that eternal life you talked about. I don't have that salvation you talked about. I'm not sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come and get you. But I'd sure like to pray for you. You're here today without Jesus. You've never been saved. You say, please pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But God has spoken to my heart today about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. All over. Pray for me as a Christian. Remember, respond, rejoice. Father, please help us to make the decisions that we ought to make today. Help us to remember what you've done and who you are. And how precious you are to us. And then I pray that we would respond by doing whatever it is you want us to do and by rejoicing. God, may we rejoice because of you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.